These are the letters. First from Nancy Wigdahl. She talks about the deeper understandings from October. She says, a powerful article, and I recommend to everyone as a springboard to action. From Madison, Wisconsin, Paul Geddes writes, we met Kenneth Wheeler when he was a pastor at struggling Hephatha Lutheran Church in Milwaukee, and our church became a partner church there. He left to join the Synod office in Milwaukee shortly after our visit, presumably to strengthen the outreach to the Black community in the city. I can certainly understand his frustration as the city fights the injustice of racism. We thought it was a mistake for him to leave the church in a predominantly Black neighborhood, assuming that a Black pastor ministering to a Black congregation was essential. How naive we were, as a young white pastor just out of seminary, accepted a call to Hephatha, and in the ensuing 30 years has created a vibrant servant church, accomplishing astounding support and spiritual nourishment to the entire neighborhood. Her name is Mary Martha Canis. Catherine Christensen of St. Peter writes about Generations of Faith from October. I loudly protest the characterization of my generation as the silent generation. I belong to the Roosevelt generation, born between 1932, when FDR was elected president, and 1945, when he died, 9 months ahead of the first boomer birth. In the 1950s, we were told we were making too much noise, rocking around the clock with Elvis. We turned our attention to public issues, sitting in for civil rights, and the 1960s joining the Peace Corps, demonstrating against the Vietnam War, and then transitioning to the 1970s with the second wave of feminism, working for the Equal Rights Amendment. I'm disappointed that you did not do the research that could have told you that the silent generation was coined in 1951 in an article in the Time magazine was used to define people born between 1923 and 1933. At any rate, ascribing clusters of traits to people who happen to be born in a particular decade is a vast oversimplification. Linda Mack writes about the Harvest Ground column. Angela Kebeb wants us to believe that people of faith don't have the intelligence or good sense to look past the evils in our country and call them out for exactly what they were. Wrong. Liberals use this tactic of labeling people, putting us in our place so we feel guilty about the past sins of those who were implicit in wrongdoing. But that's not fair, and it's not right. It's wrong to say we are self-proclaimed good people. As Christians, we know full well we are sinners, and it's wrong to say that we get it all wrong all the time. Believers live in God's grace, and we are all a work in progress. We're called to be a light in the darkness. We do this one step at a time, with God's Spirit helping us along the way.